And now we go to hour number two. What's going on? Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Great first hour. We had Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. And I did start the program by saying it's a very unusual day. A very unusual day in that I was born on this day many years ago. Also unusual in the sense that Ike Ritt was born on this day many years ago. We share the same birthday, which I did not know when I hired him. Nor did I know that he looked like Dwight Eisenhower. And that Dwight Eisenhower also has the same birthday. I mean, crazy stuff. Why is this all pertinent when I'm not a big birthday guy? Well, I wasn't until I found out Ritt had the same birthday. And I've got a present to give to him, and I will do so next segment. And you all will be a part of it. Do not go anywhere. We start hour number two, though, by talking, well, by reminding you that the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is, in fact, with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. And then we start the second hour by having a conversation with a good friend of the program. He is an insider for MLB Network. He is an MLB.com columnist. NHL Network, also on his resume. Fox Sports. You can watch John Morosi across MLB Network's programming, including MLB Tonight, which is going to air live before and after every LCS and World Series game. John will be in Arlington next week covering the World Series on site for MLB Network. John, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, my friend, always love the conversations, and thanks for the invitation to be on the show today.
Thank you for saying yes once again. I always look forward to it, John. Thank you. So when the Dodgers announced that Clayton Kershaw, John, was going to miss his start last night because of back spasms, you made the point that it was really important that Tony Gonsolin pitch reasonably deep into the evening. What were you thinking then as you watched him go 1-2-3 in the first three innings?
Well, early on, Jim, I thought his stuff was very sharp, but eventually we saw the fact that he had not thrown a competitive pitch in 17 days. And as brilliantly as the Dodgers played throughout the first couple series, I think there was a toll there on the fact that Gonsolin didn't get involved. And so because of the Kershaw injury, they had to go to Gonsolin in Game 2, and his resume this year was sparkling. But as the game wore on, the Braves' at-bats got better, and Gonsolin just didn't quite have the feel for his full repertoire to make the adjustments and give the Braves hitters a different look on the second time through the lineup. So that's really when he got stung. Interesting right now, Jim, that you think about the Dodger rotation. The only starting pitcher on the staff to record an out in the postseason in the sixth inning or later is Kershaw himself. And he's not due to come back in the rotation because of the back spasms until Game 4 at the earliest. Best case scenario, because of course Urias goes here in Game 3. So the Dodgers, Jim, they were my pick at the start of this series. I still believe they can get back in it, but nothing has gone according to plan so far for the Dodgers in this NLCS.
John Morosi is joining us once again. That's an amazing fact that you just laid out. What about Freddie Freeman? Then comes the home run to Freeman in the fourth. I mean, how locked in is this guy right now and really throughout the course of the entire season?
Incredible. And brave after brave player has said during the last couple of days, whether it's Ozzie Albies, whether it's Mark Melancon, that what we're seeing now on the national stage at the highest moments of the season is not that different from what they've seen from him all regular season long. And that's why, in their opinion, in the opinion of everybody in the Atlanta orbit right now, this is the MVP of the National League. And he's playing like it. Certainly for him, his first time in the NLCS, I think we're really getting a chance to see now, Jim, just what a brilliant player he is. He was, I think, at times overshadowed by other first basemen in the National League, whether it's been Albert Pujols early in Freddie's career, certainly more recently Adrian Gonzalez and Anthony Rizzo and Paul Goldschmidt. But now he is in the NLCS and on this grand stage, and it's the calmness and quiet of his approach. He almost never gets fooled. He's always balanced. He's got great power, a very smart hitter. Jim, he is a superstar at the peak of his powers, and the Dodgers, the mighty Dodgers, who we all thought were going to go to the World Series, are now just two losses away from elimination.
John Morosi joining us. I think most of us did assume that, and they're down 2-0. So, John, you mentioned Kershaw. When do you expect Kershaw to pitch, and then what kind of performance are you expecting to see from him coming off those back spasms?
Well, it's the key question, Jim, because you're right. It's not just getting on the mound. It's who is he once he is there. And I think overall Kershaw has gotten Very little credit for the great playoff appearances he has had. He actually has 11 playoff wins this century, which is third most in the game. You don't think that maybe because of the struggles he's had at times, but he's actually got a pretty good track record in a lot of other moments. I think he'll pitch tomorrow. I do in game four. The leash may not be quite as long as the Dodgers would have hoped. They may need to have somebody like a Dustin May potentially in reserve. For Kershaw, if he has to leave early, but then you start thinking about the scenarios of, okay, if May has to come in and pitch in relief of Kershaw in game four, who starts game five? Because remember, there are no off days in the NLCS this year, and Walker Buehler, as we know, has been dealing with this blister. And so if Buehler can only ever go four innings when he's on regular rest, or maybe five, what could he do on short rest? So all of a sudden, this team with so much pitching depth has a pitching shortage, and it really is a surprising turn of events, but they need Kershaw to be vintage Kershaw tomorrow simply because of the way they've managed the pitching situation and the way their other pitchers have performed.
Right, John? I was going to say, John Morosi joining us, you answered that in part, but I was going to say to you anyway, what do you make of that decision to pitch Dustin May for an inning and two-thirds in game one, and what does that mean for him for the rest of the series?
Well, Jim, that's a really important question, and I'm a little puzzled. I think overall, I'll take a step back and say, if Dodger fans are targeting Dave Roberts for their criticism here, I don't think that's fair, because I think a lot of the moves that Dave makes with pitching are done with heavy influence from the front office. That's just the way that the game is managed now. There's a lot of conversation there and a lot of optimizing of the data to make those decisions. But I do think at times, the Dodgers, they're so smart. At times, I think they have outthought themselves. And with May, I think that's the case. There's very little that I have issue with how they've handled things, but May is the one example. He pitches in relief in game one of the division series, and then he starts game three on a day of rest and pitches one inning. I don't get it. That did not seem to me to be the spot to use him there for an inning against the Padres in game three. Why not use a regular starter there, and then potentially you could have used May to have game one of this series, and then you back Buehler off a day, and then your pitching is better rested to begin with. I didn't get that. Either he's a starter or he's a dynamic, dominant reliever that you're putting in high-leverage situations all the time, but they're trying to make them both at the same time, Jim, and it's not working. They're left with a lesser impact of someone that should be, frankly, one of their highest impact players on the entire roster.
I think that's extremely well said. And I'm not sure who is fully responsible for that decision, whether that's part of groupthink. I don't think that Dave Roberts just makes that decision on his own, and I'm a huge Dave Roberts guy, but I agree with you. That makes no sense to me. I don't understand their use of him and why they put themselves in that position. John Morosi is joining us. John, let me jump over to the ALCS, the Tampa Bay Rays. Man, they're really something. They are rolling right now, and watching them last night, you see them make one great defensive play after another, one diving catch after another. When you watch this team, and in particular what they're doing in the field, what kind of thoughts do you have?
I'm saying that it's the 2015 Royals all over again, Jim, and we know how that series ended. They won the World Series that year, the Royals did. And just the excitement they're bringing. Dan Shulman, my friend and colleague, made this point that it really, they're a team right now, the Rays, that they're making defense fun. We don't often think about watching baseball for the defense, but I would tune in a game or go buy a ticket when we can do that again and watch this team play defense. They are so much fun to watch play defense. It feeds off each other like the Rays, like the Royals did back 5 years ago, where they almost wanted to one-up themselves in each other with a great play. Oh, you made a great play at shortstop. I'm going to make a great play at second base. I'm going to make a great catch in center field or right field. There's that passion and excitement to constantly make a great play, run to the dugout, and then say, hey, look what I just did, and look what you just did. It's just, they're having so much fun. It's an infectious way to play the game. And I think, Jim, a team that plays the way the Rays play, they're the perfect antidote to whatever criticism comes to the game about, oh, it's too slow or too boring. This is not a boring team. I defy anybody to watch the Rays and tell me it's a boring team. They're not. They don't score 15 runs a game, but it's excitement all the time. They're a great representative, I think, of the sport, and they're one win away now from the World Series.
Oh, they're not boring at all, and they're having a whole lot of fun. John, I'll say somebody who's not having fun, Jose Altuve. He does not look like he's having a good time at all. He's making costly errors when it matters most. How surprising has that been for you to see, and what's going on exactly with him?
Well, that's a great question, Jim, and it's obviously concerning. Even Dusty Baker acknowledged his concern that perhaps Jose could be developing the yips at second base, which is obviously a very concerning situation. And we have seen careers derailed by that. And of course, it's only been a handful of games, so it's hard to diagnose it and say, well, it's going to be with him for a while. But we know, and we've seen it happen before in sports, that once those ideas and once that issue happens to a player, it can be really hard to get rid of it. It can take sometimes days, sometimes months, sometimes years, and we've seen careers derailed by it. That's just the reality. I hope it's not the case for Jose, because I've always enjoyed my conversations with him in the past, and it really is the kind of thing that can haunt an athlete. So let's hope for his sake that it's not something that's long-lasting, and that he's able to get the help that he needs to kind of get through it. But it's a very onerous task, and I found it ironic, and on there is a positive, hopeful note of this last night, that Tyler Matzek, who got the win for the Braves, went more than 5 years between major league appearances, Jim. He had the yips as a pitcher. He was a first-round pick of the Rockies, got to the major leagues, and then lost the strike zone, couldn't throw a strike, and was treated by psychiatrists, psychologists, and eventually got himself back. And in fact, last year, Jim, he was pitching for an independent league team called the Texas Air Hogs in Grand Prairie, Texas. And that team plays 7 miles away from Globe Life Field, where last night he received and earned his first postseason victory of his career.
Amazing. John Morosi, MLB Network Insider, MLB.com columnist. You can watch John across MLB Network's programming, including MLB Tonight. It's going to air live before and after every LCS and World Series game. And remember, John will be in Arlington next week to cover the World Series on site for MLB Network. John, you're the absolute best. Appreciate you, the conversation, as always. Thank you very much. Great job.
Jim, you're the best in the business, my friend. Always love my conversations with you, and thanks for having me on the show again today.
You too, John. I'd say the exact same thing about you. You are the best in the business, and I appreciate our conversation and the relationship. John Morosi makes it a point to come on the program, and we ask him pretty frequently to come on the program because there's nobody who does it as well as he does it. John Morosi. All right. This notion of the yips, man, it's amazing. You see it in golf. You see it in baseball. I mean, you see it in sports. You see it in life. Nobody knows where it comes from, how you got it, how you got rid of it or get rid of it. Chuck Knobloch, Steve Sachs, Mark Wohlers. I mean, crazy stuff. And now maybe Altuve. All right, so let's go back to the day in question, the matter at hand. Now, this used to be a day that I tried my very best to ignore. I've never been that guy. You know, I don't really care about my birthday. It's nice. You know, people are really nice about it, and they go out of their way. Happy birthday. Love you. Hope you have a special day. On and on and on. You know, it is what it is. It's just not that big of a deal to me. Or at least it wasn't. And it's become an even bigger deal to me. But not because of me. It's become a day that is impossible to look away from. Back when October 14th was just my birthday, I didn't really much give a damn because I'm not that guy. But then it all changed. When did it all change? Why did it all change? Well, it all changed when that Dwight David Eisenhower doppelganger came sauntering arrogantly into this shop, drenched, soaked in unwarranted, unearned, and misguided confidence, the likes of which I have never seen before. I always quote what was at that time one of my favorite lines ever. A guy said about another guy that I know, "I have never seen a guy that ugly with that much confidence." An amazing statement. And then I met this guy. It's not to say that he's ugly or handsome or otherwise. Just a guy with unwarranted confidence. But damn, he thinks he's good. You know who I'm talking about, Garrett Ritt, a.k.a. Ike. Now, I do not have the time in a year, let alone a single 3-hour program, to reset his unicorn-like behavior. Just understand this. There is nobody on this planet like Ritt. Nobody. But for how uniquely original this guy is, we do have that one thing in common. We were both born on October 14th. That in and of itself is freaky. What are the odds that I hire a guy who looks like he's 5 decades older than me, who was born on the same day, years after me? And if you think that I did that to make myself feel better about me or to make myself look better, that's not true. But again, you think that's wild. How about this? Guess who else was born on that day? That's right. Freaking Dwight D. Eisenhower. Who does Ike look exactly like? Dwight D. Eisenhower. The three of us share the same birthday. Can't make this crap up. None of us knew this. Not Dwight, not Ike, and not me. When he came through these doors the first time, arrogantly. Pure coincidence. So I mentioned a second ago that Ritt is soaked in this unwarranted confidence, and he is, because earlier this year he filmed himself. He turned the camera on himself, playing a game of horse in his driveway against himself. Not only did he pimp and style all his made shots, he actually challenged Paul Pierce to a game, and he called the truth, quote, fat on Twitter while he did so. I mean, his behavior is so egregious and so ill-fitting of my brand and myself that I actually had to put him on the air to ask him about it. And this is how the old guy greets me.
Thank you for having me on, finally. It's nice to be on the air once.
Thanks for having me on the air, finally. Damn, Ritt. You'd think that I owed you something, like my gig. Thanks for having me on the air, finally?
Finally.
It's nice to be on the air once?
Thank you for having me on, finally.
The hell are you counting your on-air appearances for in front of the audience? A simple thank you would have been sufficient, old man. Instead, he hits me with a finally, like with emphasis, finally. Like, I finally got around to doing something that I should have done years before. Like, I finally got around to doing something that I should have done the very day, the very hour, the very minute he walked through these doors. This guy's counting his appearances out loud on air.
Thank you for having me on, finally. It's nice to be on the air once.
Just shoving it in my face. Finally. Once. I mean, that three-second clip sums this guy up perfectly. I mean, that's who this guy is. Jovial. Confident. Arrogant. Unabashedly arrogant, by the way. And in kind of a strange way, like, sort of likable. And funny, not on purpose, accidentally funny. Ever since then, I've made the point that Ritt is just sitting there in the back row, inhaling hot chocolate, thinking to himself, man, I'm better. I'm better than Van Smack. Well, hell, I'm better than everybody. But I know this. It's kind of weird that I'm on that side of the glass, that old man's on the other side of the glass, and he's the one pulling the check when I know I can do his job better than he can do his job. Move over, Rome. Why don't you give the clones what they really want, finally? Me.
Finally.
I know you're thinking that, Ritt. I can see it, man. You're not a hard guy to read. It's just in your whole body language is just like, man, I'm better. I'm smarter. They want me, man. They've heard you, old man. You got nothing new to say anyway. All right. All right. You know what? I'm in a giving mood today. So I'm about to hand out a birthday gift to the old man himself. You know what, Ritt? You know what, Ritt? It's your time. You're in, dude. Next segment is yours.
Game
Happy
on.
Birthday, Ike, finally. I'm going to give you the show for an entire segment. And I'm not talking about me doing a Q&A with you for a segment. I'm not talking about having a conversation with you for a segment. I am giving you your own segment. I'm letting you into my studio, old man. I'm going to get up out of here. Walk through that door, socially distanced from the rest of the XR4TI, and you will be sitting right here. You think you can do it better than me? Great. You're about to get your chance to prove it. No joke. I hope you're ready for this. Finally. I know you think you are. We're about to find out. My gift to you, Ike. I'm going to give you my nationally syndicated radio and TV show for a segment for your birthday. Finally.
Finally.
Coming up next. Garrett Ritt host the Jungle on our shared birthday. And this is what I meant when I said to you, clones, you can be a part of this gift. I want you to call him. He's going to host a segment. He'll have a rant or two. He'll roll telephone calls. You need to be a part of this. Start dialing right now. The Ritt Hotline, 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, this show belongs to Ritt. He gets his shot. He gets his own segment. Call him. It's his birthday. It's go time, Ritt. Game on. Finally.
Game on. Finally.
Got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so good? There is something to be said for a family business that stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by the other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. That way you can actually see the quality through their iconic clear view packages. Every bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients, from their lean strips of beef seasoned with top quality spices to the real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and Old Trapper jerky comes in four mouth-watering flavors. Old-fashioned with a hint of brown sugar sweetness, teriyaki, peppered, and for those of you who need a little more zing in life, there's hot and spicy, chock full of good protein. It satisfies your manliest hunger cravings. It provides real sustained energy. Old Trapper is a better way to snack. Old Trapper, part of your weekly grocery list. Make sure it's on there. Get a good supply. Keep it on hand for you and your family. And if you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Old Trapper.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show. From Southern California, this is the
Garrett Ritt
Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Damn right it is, gang. What is going on, clones? That is right. Man, this feels good. It is so right. In fact, so right. So right. What you're seeing and hearing is not a mistake. It's me, the most valuable and indispensable member of the XR4TI. Hell, the most valuable member of the entire show, I'd say. And I think we all agree on that, right? Welcoming you back to the Jim Rome... The Garrett Ritt Show, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
This
finally
is the Garrett Ritt Show.
As you can see, it's taken me only less than 2 years to accomplish what no other member of the show has been able to accomplish in more than a quarter century. And that's successfully engineer a full-on hostile takeover of the big chair. Well, the side chair, but it still counts. It works. And I've got to tell you, be honest, it wasn't really even that hard. All I had to do was sit back there in the back row, keep my mouth shut, remain mostly invisible, upload one viral video, bust out one parody song, bust out a couple hot chocolates live on the air, and then absolutely crush my first, and until now, only other time on the air. As we heard last segment, crushed the hell out of that one. Then I just pump out a few kick-ass catchphrases, geniusly coerce Alvin to take a few Thursdays off, and boom, the Garrett Ritt Show is here. Bam. So, game on. That's it. So the genius of it all was that I actually brought my fake ID in to convince Jim we had the same birthday, of course, too, which got me into this chair again. So game on, baby. It is now the Garrett Ritt Show, and we are going.
This is the Garrett Ritt Show.
That's right. And I'm not going to lie. I have played this thing to an absolute T. And to the victors go the spoils. So here we are. Here the F we are.
Here we are. Here the F we are.
And as a gift to you, clones, I'm going to take some calls here in a minute, so line them up, 1-800-636-8686. But first, because it is my birthday and it is my show, and because I'm the lone senior citizen on this program, I'm the most susceptible to COVID of anybody else here, I'm going to tell you a quick COVID-related story. So hopefully you'll dig it, because to me is the most embarrassing and infuriating story that I've gone through in a long time. So I got an email recently from StubHub the other day telling me that a Garth Brooks concert that I got my parents tickets for over a year ago had been rescheduled again. Now, this is the third time it's happened. I bought these damn tickets as a Christmas present for them over a year ago, and the show was just supposed to go down in May. But now it's been moved. It's been moved to June. It's been moved to October. And now, finally, it's been moved to April. And these are sweet-ass field seats in Bank of America Stadium, you know, where the Panthers play. We're talking 70,000 people, and they're 12 rows from the stage. I balled out for this one. Got them tickets, right? Big bucks. And not only did I pony up for those, but because I was feeling it at the time, and because I know a little bit about how to do this kind of thing, I bought seven other Garth Brooks tickets that I was going to hawk and turn around for some serious cash. Uh-oh. This was freaking Garth, man, in North Carolina, one night only. I was going to make a killing until freaking COVID, of course. So I've been stuck with $700 worth of potentially worthless tickets for over a year now, and I have no idea when the hell that's going to play out. But that's about a month's worth of Dr. Peppers for me. So that is significant to my bottom line. So the concert game sucks right now. We know this, right? But I'm here to tell you, what I did have was an amazing concert experience before the COVID ball dropped. And I mean right before the COVID ball dropped. We saw one of the last arena shows anywhere in the world before that Rudy Gobert coughed onto everybody's microphones and Tom Hanks went belly up as well. So Bruno Mars in Vegas, Saturday night, before the whole world shut down. Freaking ridiculous, right?
Kind of ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
And of course, the only reason we were even there that night was because nearly 2 years ago, before that, we had tickets to Bruno at the Forum. The world famous Great Western Forum right here in L.A., home of the Lakers, Kareem, Big Game James, Irv, Rambis. It's the home of Rambis. Never been there before. Could not wait. I had these tickets in my hand for nearly a year, right? So we go in. We had the tickets work perfectly. We get right through the ticket guy. No problem whatsoever. That'll come back up later. So we're in. Full hour early. We're having dinner there. We're getting some drinks, seeing the opening band. Everything beautiful. Mwah. Perfect night. Show starts, and we're about 90 seconds into the first song when an usher comes down and pokes me on the shoulder asking to see my tickets. Now, I don't know much, but I know that this is not a good sign. And even worse is when two other people are right behind him with identical tickets, and this one's on their Ticketmaster app, no less. So my hard tickets are looking pretty puny right about now. I didn't have a worry in the whole world that entire night until now. So they take me up to the security office. They ask for my tickets. I come back a minute or two later, and there's a big-ass Boyd right stamped on both my tickets. And two security guards are right escorting me out of the building. So as you can imagine, I'm horrified, and next thing you know, I'm out of there. I don't know how it happened. The tickets worked. What the hell? But they didn't give a damn. So I'm sitting there right in the middle of the parking lot looking and hearing Bruno Mars. So I'll leave it to you guys. Did I totally get screwed over here, or was I somehow in the wrong? I don't know. Have you ever been scammed like this before? It's just been like 3 years, and I'm still pissed about it, and I can't even listen to Bruno Mars on the radio without getting upset. So let's go to the phones. I'm going to go right to you guys. It's time for you guys to talk to me on my show, the Garrett Ryan Ritt Show. John, in New York, talk to me, brother.
Oh, my God. I have the privilege of being the first guest on the Garrett Ritt Show. Happy birthday, Jim, and happy birthday to you, Ritt. The man of the underdog has come to the forefront. Brian Weber, eat your heart out. I'm going to give the cones. I'm not going to be like Woody, my boy in New York. Hey, Woody, man, cut your call short. Get with the program. Garrett, happy birthday and congratulations on your new show. And hopefully we'll see you all soon. Thanks, Garrett.
Love it. Thanks, John. You're the man. We're going right back to back. We're going, I'm my man. Your man. Everybody's man. Matt, right here in L.A.
October
talk to me, baby.
14th, 1890. Number 34 of the fine 50. Mr. Garrett Ritt Eisenhower was born. The nation is a better place for it. Happy birthday, Jim Rome. Wore Ira Craig using empty paper towel rolls as telescopes, and wore Drizzle using a...
No! You do not wore anybody else in my segment. My segment. Love you, Matt. Can't do it, baby. Can't do it. Bring it on. We got anybody else on the phones? Anybody else lined up? All right. I think we got Andy. Andy in Rockland. Bring it, maybe. Call number three to the Garrett Ritt Show. Talk to me.
Hi, Garrett.
Oh, Andy. How are you? Lady Clones.
Good. How are you? Happy birthday.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm very, very proud of you. Seriously, I can listen to you all day. You're doing a great job.
Hmm. I see. Does this sound like Andy?
This is Andy.
Andy.
You know what? You're doing a great job. I don't typically listen to the Jim Rome Show all morning, but I can listen to you all day. You're funny. You're doing a great job. And I don't really have anything mm-hmm. else to say at this point. I just wanted to say happy birthday to you and Jim. And I think this is really, this is kind of a fun thing.
Oh, it's fun, all right. I don't know who it's more fun for, me or you, but I appreciate it. I'm not 100% sure that was Andy or not. But, dude, I love it. Thank you for having me on the show today. Jim, again, thanks for having me here. Jim, you're the man. I appreciate the love. We're going to wrap up the segment right now, but I appreciate you bringing me in, making me one of your own on the most legendary shows in the history of sports radio. And even though I know you don't want to hear it, happy birthday, my man. And most of all, appreciate you keeping my chair warm here until next year or tomorrow. Who the hell knows? I'll have my people talk to your people. And now, finally, cutting into my time as usual, here's what better be an award-winning sports update from the GOAT himself, the man with the pipes that live up to the hype, my man Rich Ackerman. Rich, take it away.
CBS. Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wow. Yes, I'm back. I am back. I think that it's still my show. Unless, of course, one of these suits were to hit me up and say, you know what? Why don't the two of you guys kind of flip spots once again? Ritt, what did I tell you about unwarranted and unreasonable confidence? All right, more on that in a minute and your reaction to it in a minute. As a reminder, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We are close. We are convenient. We are known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and our excellent customer service from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, quick heads up. Next hour, the beef segment. So once you're done responding to what you just heard and saw from Ike on his birthday and what he did with that birthday present that I gave to him, start thinking about your beef. The beef segment's coming up next hour. Jeffrey Chidiha at the top of the hour. Talk some football with him. Right now, though, some quick reaction. In case you missed it, I had Ike in. My birthday present to Ike was to let him host a segment and do whatever he want with it, which is what he did. Hey, Ike, great Garth Brooks story, dude. I'm sorry that COVID-19 created so much strife for you and your life. While many others have lost their lives, you lost your Garth Brooks ticket. Sorry about that, bro. And sorry that you can no longer listen to Bruno Mars on the radio either, bro. But it is your show. Your show, your takes, your calls. I especially liked you.
Show.
Your show. You running Matt. You glossing Andy Amby. How about the two of you flirting back and forth? And Alvin had to break out the porn music underneath when you were talking to, quote, Amby. And how about Amby? How about Amby saying, you know, I don't really listen to the Rome Show very much at all. Oh, you don't, Amby? Amby, you call all the time. You call this show. You call the podcast. What are you talking about, Amby? Why are you calling her Amby, Ritt? Can you not hear? Are you that old? Andy. Anyway, Amby is like, yeah, I don't really listen to the show. I'm not really about Rome or anything, but wow, Garrett. I could listen to you all day long. Let's check some of the other reaction. At Hitman Canadian. Yes, Matt in LA gets run. Put Garrett Ritt into the Radio Hall of Fame. Hey, if that's all it takes to get in there, I would have run him a hell of a long time ago. Sam in Grand Rapids, quote, "What the hell is this? Boring old man story hour?" Hey, man, he's got jokes. He's got takes. He's got stories. He's got lines. He's got lady clones. Squirrel 2 tweets, "CBS Sports should fine you $1 million every time you take a vacation, and don't make Ritt a guest host. My God, this segment is amazing."
Bring it, maybe.
Nate Wolf tweets, "Dude, Romy, give the old man the hook. Oh, and Ritt, get to the point." All right, so there seems to be some polarization here. Do I put him in the Hall of Fame or do I give him the hook? Mailman Casey tweets, "Just goes to show that Ritt never even listens to the show. He didn't even know Andy in Rockland was a regular lady clone." No, I think he did. I think he wasn't sure whether or not it was the actual AmB in Rockland. Yeah, because somebody would pretend to be her. Like the fake AmB, like the fake Silk, you mean?
AmB.
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 Not only did he get her name wrong, I like the way he said it, like AmB.
I see. Does this sound like Andy?
What's going on, AmB?
It's cracking, I don't know who it's girl. More fun for, me or you, but I appreciate it. I'm not.
The two of you get a room, Ritt, you and AmB. Come on, man. Be professional, dude. 1 for 3, C1 tweets, "Run, Garrett Ritt." Jesse in El Paso tweets, "Effing Ritt, legend." Stucknut, "Nice water cooler talk, Ritt, not." SA Sports Honk on Twitter, "Rome, the only reason Garrett Ritt went to Bruno Mars is because he thought it was a candy bar." Good job, Ken. Ray in Sherwood, "Holy crap. This is the best show I've ever heard. War Ritt, always and forever." D-Rod in the 925 is in. He tweets, "Holy crap. The confidence on Ike is freaking amazing.
I'll have my people talk to your people."
See what I'm saying? Has there ever been anybody less worthy of that kind of arrogance who had more? My man just arrogantly parading through the building. Seamus 27 tweets, "Ritt, get the hell out of the water, shark." Johnny Scabs wants in. "Congrats to Rome on being the first person removed from the Radio Hall of Fame after this segment." That would suck, wouldn't it? Took me more than 3 decades to get in. What if they took me out after that? Tony in Maine is on it in all caps. He tweets, "Make it stop." Eric in WFI tweets, "Holy crap, shut it down. Let's go home.
Man, this feels
War
good.
Stiff-arming other radio hosts like Derrick Henry and running 99 yards straight into the Hall of Fame. Best segment in the history of radio." Look at him back there with his Heisman pose.
Man, this feels good.
Didn't it, Ritt? 1 for 3, C1 is back in. "Why the hell is Garrett Ritt telling these stories?" Signed, Jerome from Houston.
That is right.
Ralph Hughes tweets, "Jimmy, why would you do this to us? Stop, Ritt."
"It's me, the most valuable and indispensable member of the XR4TI.
Why would I do what to you? The best thing ever? Best thing ever happened to you?"
That is right.
You gotta love that when I say to Ritt, "It's your show, it's your segment, do whatever the hell you want." And he told a couple of nonsensical stories about concerts and how somehow he got jammed. And everything's been ruined for him. Well, first of all, dude, what are you doing scalping tickets illegally? You're lucky you're not in jail, bro. Also, did you say that Tom Hanks went belly up? Did Tom Hanks die and I didn't know? And what's the deal between you and AmBee? Mike D for 3 tweets, "This Ritt segment's unintended consequence was that Alvy can make anything sound decent, including Garth Brooks stories.
Here, listen. The F we are.
If we had not gotten into that guy's ear, he'd still be in the middle of that Garth Brooks story right now. Right now. Even I had to go to the front row and say, hey, man, hey, oh, man, keep it moving, dude. Keep it moving. Move through this story. Get to your next terrible story so you can bank some telephone calls, man. You're running out of time. You're on the clock. Actually, all of that said, and some of you loved it and some of you hated it, my opinion matters around here. I thought it was great because it perfectly illustrated what I'm talking about, that a guy who has no business having that kind of confidence, much less that kind of arrogance, is the most arrogant guy ever. How does that guy walk right through that door and get that comfortable that fast with such horrible content and stories?
And I'm not going to lie. I have played this thing to an absolute T.
My man is sitting there like, dude, I've always known that I'm way better suited for this gig than the guy I'm working for, and now they're all going to know. Now everybody's going to know. It's Garrett Ritt time.
The Garrett Ritt Show.
He governmented himself in the middle of that segment, if I'm not mistaken. Garrett Ryan Ritt. He third-person governmented himself. Sean Rohasek tweets, Ike running Matt in L.A. was incredible. I just wish the parody Larry would have been on. All right, let's speaking of the devil, there must be a reason to go there, huh, Adam? Let's go to line two. Parody Lawrence. Hey, Larry, what's up?
Hey, Jim. You know, watching Ritt in your seat, I thought I was watching the Discovery Channel. Welcome to Easter Island. And Ritt, you 80-year-old junk thrower, this one's for you, buddy. And by the way, it's National Dessert Day. I'm surprised it coincides with you. Old man, look at your life. You look a lot like Ike. You eat so many sweets. Get on the exercise bike or you'll get diabetes.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good
I did
call.
To you, Larry, what I always do to you, but certainly what Ritt would have done to you. Disrespecting Ritt the day he became the host of the jungle on his birthday with diabetes smack. And again, you not getting right to your parody.
That
Come
is
on,
right.
Man. Into hour number three, if you want to react to what you heard from Ritt, it's not too late. 1-800-636-8686. Or you can tweet at the program at Jim Rome.
Bring
or you
it,
can
baby.
Email the program, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. What I do want you to do is save your thoughts and save your beefs. They're coming up next hour. Jeffrey Chadiha, when we come back.